Well, your dadgum government, you sorry so-and-sos. You got your damn hands in every pocket of my clothes. Well, your dadgum government. Oh, don't you know? Oh, don't you love them sometimes? Well, your dadgum government, you better pay attention. You're setting up there like a fool's convention. Do you dat gum government? Uh-huh. Oh, don't you know? Oh, don't you love them sometimes? Uh-huh. Well, you soul-selling, no-good sons of a shoe-fitting fire starters. Ought to tell you no good premillatory bone frame and nail it to your government walls. All of you, you dadgum government, you sorry rattle fratches. You got yourself an itch and you're wanting me to scratch it. Will you dadgum
government itch and they need us to scratch it. What a great lead-in, folks. This is the Rebel Madman here on Republic Broadcasting Network, and we're going to delve into just exactly what Roger Miller was talking about there, and that is man and his government. And there are so many mysteries here, and I just wanted to get into those. But before I get into that aspect, I want to ask all of you folks out there who care about freedom, who care about free speech, who care about any of our creator-endowed inalienable rights, or inalienable, as some people like to say. I like that word as well. For you folks who are out there and you want to see free speech continue, then, you know, find a way to support RBN, because they're bringing you freedom of speech on a regular basis, a daily basis. And I'm just lucky I get to do one day a week to give you my thoughts and my ideas, but there are great hosts here. So let's do whatever we can to promote RBN so that freedom of speech and thought will not go away. We can't afford that. Not in any way whatsoever. But now that that's out of the way, here's one of the things I wanted to talk about today, and that was man's greatest addiction. And I know there's going to be people who say, well, you know, there's alcohol, there's cocaine, there's crack, there's, you know, legal addictions. But those aren't the ones I'm talking about. To me, the greatest addiction that man has is government. Because you will find very, very few people who will tell you they don't need government every day. And if you need government every day, that's an addiction. And here is the counterpoint. Is there any way, in any circumstance, where a person can have an addiction and be free? No, because you're controlled by that which you are addicted to. And in America today, we start off our newborn with their first dose of addiction to government. It's called a Social Security number. There are hospitals that will not let you take a child, a newborn, out without a Social Security number. Now, what does an infant need with a Social Security number? They don't. They won't need one for years. But the government needs that Social Security number because that newborn infant has just become collateral for the national debt. So children right out of the gate are hooked up to government. And over the years, you know, one of the things that I have found so amazing on this trip I've been on for the past 40 years is when you bring up to people and they will tell you, look at what this government has done. Fuel prices are sky high. This is, you know, people are dying right and left from jabs, and look at all of this other stuff, and look, the taxes, and we're sending money to the Ukraine. Are we? How do you know that money went to the Ukraine? How did you know that latest $40 billion wasn't divided up among the international banking community? You don't know. Why don't you know? Because you are addicted to government. Government is your lifeblood. And I know this is hard for people to take. I really understand that, because I was in your place at one time. Couldn't imagine how we would ever survive without government. But why does man want government? Man wants government because he's afraid. And the people who want government the most are absolute cowards. There is no need for government. The people who want government want something to protect them from something else, in some instances. But there's also that segment of society that wants government so they can control other people. And that is something we really have to stop and think about. Because I was in a conversation with a gentleman recently, and I made, well, let's just get rid of government. What does government do for you every day that you think is necessary? Well, let me see. They take any amount of money they want from you for any reason or any amount, and they spend it on anything they want to spend it on, including things that you think are morally reprehensible. But you have no choice. Oh, but you're free. You have no choice about how your money's spent, but you are free. Okay, well, I have a little bit of trouble understanding exactly how that works. And then let's look at the fact, let's look at the 20th century. Let's look at that. The 20th century saw over 200 million people murdered, genocide, by their own governments. And we're staring this one right in the face right now. Because if you do not believe that these vaccinations are a form of genocide, you probably need another shot. Because that is exactly what it is. We are looking, all governments eventually become totalitarian. There has never been one in history that hasn't become totalitarian. They completely rule everything that the individual does. And an individual is the greatest enemy of government. Government cannot allow individualism. It absolutely cannot. Because, again, it's the, you know, it's that that cross, if you will, to government that destroys it. And I've asked people who have been through, you know, government, you have to pay government to own a car. You have to pay government to own land. You have to pay government for anything that you want. You have to petition government to exercise your God-given rights. You don't think so? You got a concealed carry permit? How did you get that? And yet, that's one of our unalienable rights, is the right to protect ourselves and our family and our loved ones. But you have to ask government if it's okay if you do that. That shows the very level and the very degree of your addiction. And one of the things I think that really gets to me more than anything else is when people, even the people who are complaining about government, oh, look what they've done now. They did this, they did that. Well, the great illusion in America is that if you elect someone else to government, you can change that. Tell me when that's happened. People have to make up stuff. If it's their favorite candidate. They have to make up stuff. Oh, well, look at all the good he did. Okay, well, what good? Point out all of the wonderful things. Someone please tell me. I know there's a lot of Trump supporters out there. And all of them are ecstatic. Some of them, you know, had, wet dreams this week about Trump running for president again in 2024. What did he do from 17 to 21? What did he actually do to promote your rights and to reinforce your rights? What did he have Congress go back and re-examine? What was overturned? It's all a great big game. They keep offering these people to you. If these people were actually going to change government and cause the aristocracy and others to lose power, they wouldn't be allowed to be candidates, because your candidates are vetted by both political parties. And you people really think there's a difference in the parties? Nah, not right. Name only. Because your Republicans have been Marxists since the founding of the party, by Marxists, and your Democrats have been far left-wing, screaming Marxist socialist for the better part of half a century. So you think you have a choice. It's the illusion of choice. But again, to get back to those people who really surprise me more than anything else are those who will tell you, oh, look at the mess we're in, everything else. And you say, well, why don't we just get rid of government altogether? Oh, my God. What would you put in its place? What could we have? Oh, you know, that's kind of like the guy that runs down to the doctor because he's having severe headaches. And the good old doctor says, well, you know, you've got a brain tumor. Oh, no, doc. Do you have something else I could change that for? What about cancer of the prostate? You got some of that? Or maybe you could replace that brain tumor with lung cancer. Oh, yeah, that would be good. Or you can give me something else just as deadly, because that's what I'm asking for. All governments are evil. Everyone that has ever been there is evil. They all eventually take you to exactly the same place. Yeah, I know. Yeah, this ain't making a lot of people happy, but I really don't care, because I lay awake at night, toss and turn 15 or 20 seconds worrying about the people that I may have offended during the daytime. Here's the thing that you have to understand. For government to work, the people who administer government must be moral. They must have a great morality standard. Does anyone ever ask those questions during debates? Have you ever seen a presidential debate when someone says, well, Mr. So-and-so, tell us about your morality? What do you believe in? Where is that line you will not cross? No, we don't talk about that. We talk about programs and incentives and who's going to do this and who's going to build a wall and who's going to do all this other stuff. People, have you thought for a minute that if these people actually followed any rules, it wouldn't make any difference who you elected? Because when you get on a plane, you don't get to pick the pilot. And I know that sounds kind of strange to folks, but you don't. But you think that you have a right to pick the person who is running your government. So the international banking cabal controls both parties. Therefore, no matter who wins, we lose. I just, it's really hard, I know, for people to understand that. But man, from his earliest beginnings, turned to government to bolster his weakness and to cover his fear. That is absolutely why man seeks government. But one of the things that I have found recently that really troubles me when I talk to these people who will admit that government is terrible, it's destroying everything they ever had. But if you say, let's get rid of government, they go, well, what will we put in its place? That's the crazy part. What will we put in its place? The thing that I have discerned about those people who know that government is absolutely rotten and corrupt, but they still want it. They want it for the believed power it gives them to tell other people what to do, to boss other people around, to be the boss of other people. And if they can use government to do that, you know, I've seen it, I don't know how many times, I saw it recently. I'm still a member of a group in Arkansas, and they were sending out all kind of letters and what have you. Oh, we have to do something. There's a bill before Congress that would legalize recreational marijuana. We have to do something to stop that. Why? If you want to stop recreational marijuana and you have never even thought about using anything that is associated with marijuana, why do you care if someone else does? It's none of your damn business. Oh, but if you can use government to tell them they can't, you can impose your will on other people. I don't care how rotten and corrupt government is, but if I can tell that damn guy across the street he can't do this or he can't do that, and I can put him in jail if he does, I gotta have me some of that government. Give me some more. So here's the thing I don't think people stop and think about, and I mentioned it before. Individuals are the enemies of government. Government is inescapably concerned with unity. Therefore, individuals are the necessary victims of government. Now, for sure, it's true that some governments have said that, no, we're not. We're all about freedom. Some have said that the individual is important, and that the government is merely the servant of the individual. Oh, God, I can't help. I'm sorry. But let the evidence be presented, and we discover that this assertion is only a pleasant fiction designed to keep Bubas sound asleep. The servant has the power and the strength. The individual bows before the might of the servant, who is, despite all of the platitudes you can think of, it is your master. Government is your master. It's not a slave to your beliefs. Governments rule. Individuals are ruled. And all individuals must give away to the violent cohesion of government. Now, let's look at the possibilities here. If an individual is physically, mentally, or morally in error, in other words, if they're a criminal, mentally wacko, or morally degenerate, the combined and powerful action of a government may provide some assistance there. And it is in this area where actions taken by government are deemed to be not only proper in a moral sense, but highly practical and desirable. Ah, that wonderful music. All right, be back with you, folks. Thanks for tuning in to RBN and the Rebel Madman Radio.
Que consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. And one of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
It used to be Andy and Barney Fife. Now a tired stern and a brothel life. Too much crap drive the world insane. Everybody singing the jailhouse blues. Don't believe a word of the evening news. Truth stood for years down the drain. Trailer parks with the building cold. Cul-de-sacs in the country road.
Ah, truth that has stood for years is down the drain. Thanks, Merle. Oh, man, miss you, Merle. Really do. And that is from his song, America, What Happened? Where Did You Go? Well, catching back up with where we left off, I am sure that there are a large group of people who would say, well, without government, how are we going to protect ourselves from criminals? Well, you know, that reminds me about an argument back in the 1600s between Thomas Hobbes and John Lark, or I probably shouldn't say an argument, a discussion. And Thomas Hobbes said, we must have government. Because we must be protected from the criminal element in society. And John Locke's answer was, and I paraphrase, well, what do you do when the criminals take over your government? Now, someone got an answer for that? Oh, we'll vote them out. Yeah. When's that ever happened?
what was it Mark Twain said, if voting made a difference, then make it illegal. And what was it? Let's see. H.L. Mencken said, an election is an advanced auction on stolen goods. And they were both right. But stop and think about it. You're saying that, okay, we need somebody to protect us from criminals. Well, here is the point, is the fact that we have what is called in this country law enforcement. Now, they're there to enforce laws. They're not there to protect you from criminals. The Supreme Court has said on multiple occasions that the police have no obligation to protect an individual. They have a collective responsibility to the community. But there is nothing there that says they have to protect you. And again, I could cite you at least three Supreme Court cases on that one. The last one coming out of Colorado, when an estranged husband kidnapped his children and killed them outside the police station, had them in the trunk of the car. And there was a protective order on him. Did the police protect them? There was also a gentleman who had an organization called Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. And he wrote a fantastic book, and I would suggest this for all of you who believe that the police are actually ever going to protect you. And it's called Dial 911 and Die. Read the book. Think you might like it. No, you won't. You won't like it, but it's going to hit you right between the eyes. And here's the other thing. Law enforcement. When the legislature of your city, state, or the federal legislature passes a law, they are bound to enforce it, whether it is constitutional or not. So how can we call law enforcement a branch of government that protects us from criminal acts? If the government says, and it will, it's coming, that all personal firearms ownership is no longer acceptable and must be terminated, how are you going to stop that? Oh, I've heard all these stories. Oh, they'll pry my cold, dead finger. No, they won't. You'll turn them over. Because it will be done just like it's been done under other totalitarian governments. If the government knows your children, knows that you have guns, and you have voiced the fact that you will not turn them over, they cannot be confiscated. Well, then, you know, the good old law enforcement will possibly stop by the local school and pick up your children and tell you, we can make a trade here. You can get your kids back when you give us your guns. Do you really think that they won't do something like that? Do you really think, with all of the things that's happening in this country, with all of the lies that government is telling? Oh, I think I hear some Skinner. Hang on, folks. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm. My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Alive, best be on our way. Our tattered gray was torn between if we should run or fight, but our southern pride swelled up inside as we dug in for the night. Then I heard a rider calling, they're coming down the road, and the fiery flash of 20 pounders started to explode. Tried our best to stop them, our efforts were in vain. In the distance you could hear the sound of Dixie's last refrain.
Ah, they're burning Georgia down. Thank you, Balsam Range. I love that song. Hey, guys, we got some callers here. And up on the queue number one is a person from good old North Kakalaki. Francis, what's on your mind?
What is not on my mind? Well, first off, early in your show, you were talking about various things, and I thought, okay. There was a sound of concern about that a lot of people were not going to like what you had to say and so forth, but quite frankly, you were nailing too many things on the head to start with.
Well, thank you for that.
Well, not a problem, because quite frankly, if people are so concerned about, well, what will we do if government collapses on itself and implodes? Guess what? I will be dancing the happy dance, even though I have leg issues with the knee joints and so forth. I'll still be doing a happy dance if I had to go and get a strong drink to make them numb.
Well, Francis, may I ask, where are you located in North Kakalaki?
East side of Raleigh.
Okay, well, I was born and reared in the Appalachian Mountains of western North Carolina, almost on the Tennessee border. So we are fellow North Cackalackians, and I tell you what, if we got rid of government, I would find some way to join you in the festivities.
Well, true. Quite frankly, I wouldn't shed a tear. If I was doing any tearing up about the collapse and implosion of, it would be because I'd be laughing so hard because I would be crying tears of joy, not sadness. And for that matter, the Federal Reserve and the IRS could also implode as well, since they're also woven into that so-called government structure that's in the district of criminals, as I tend to call it. So,
well,
if anything...
Go ahead. What? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, no. Well, if anything, for people to wonder what they're going to do, well, guess what? Think about what you could do not having some bureaucratic red tape down your throat, around your neck.
Amen.
And around your crotch and who knows where else, strangling you. I mean, let's get realistic. People to actually be able to go out, do the work that they need to be doing to survive as a community and as a city, country, state, whatever have you, without the garbage going on. Because, well, I'll put it this way. This is I keep referring back to a film that shed light on this, and it's a very humorous film. I think it was done back in the 90s sometime with Eddie Murphy and some other actors, called Distinguished Gentlemen. And
oh, yes.
There was a pardon?
I said, oh, yes, I'm sorry. I'm just commenting from the sidelines. Keep going,
oh, okay.
Please.
If anything, he was going into D.C. as a con artist to see how things were going. And when he gets there, he ends up being wined and dined and everything else from this party to that party, pro and con and all this stuff. And he, at one dinner that he was being given, he asked, well, with all this money passing back and forth, how does anything get done? And the response crystallized the whole meaning behind D.C. because, quite frankly, it has to implode. I really look forward to that day when it does because, quite frankly, I don't have to sweat over it anymore. And a lot of people don't have to sweat over it anymore. So, you know, it's like taking the people back to their roots, if it were to do that. But you know what? As corrupt as the government structure is, and having the military up their backside, I mean, they're just as subject to the military industrial complex as anybody else is. Don't get me wrong. So, quite frankly, the military would do what it has to try to put the ducks in a row and probably try to keep people under their bootstrap, for that matter, or boot heel, or whatever you want to call it. And quite frankly, they can, as far as I'm concerned, they can take their boot and stick it up their backside. Because,
well,
for
Francis,
one thing,
let me kind of interject here. Having been inside the belly of this beast, let me tell you that the United States military in the 60s, only the special operation units of the United States military were controlled by the CIA. But in today's world, the entire military is controlled by the CIA.
Ouch. Well, that's what happens when you get the alphabet soup groups involved.
Well, absolutely. Francis, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. Call in anytime, please, and take care of North Cackalacky while I'm down here in Georgia trying to survive. Would you, please?
Good weekend. Play hard.
All right, thank you. Now, folks, let's jump to another good old southern state, and let's talk with Patrick. Patrick, how are you?
I'm doing very well. You're really hitting on some real hard topics most people wouldn't touch. It was Jefferson who said if the government exceeds our 19 enumerated powers, there'd be no limit to them. Well, they just blew it out of water, you know, the Trading with the Enemies Act, the 250 agency, alphabet agencies that FDR created. It just goes on and on and on. It was Judge Andrew Napolitano who asked Justice Scalia, you know, why do you call common law the fundamental law? He said, well, you know, common law sounds too Catholic. And that's what, but the common law is declaratory, the Bill of Rights is declaratory of the common law. that's what they, you know, we said in the Madison and the Ninth Amendment, is that we have rights not enumerated, that you shall not, that shall be denied or discouraged. But unfortunately, they've taken all of their in-house rules and regulations and imposed those on us. But if you take, like, the white folk of Europe, you know, they had, like, Volksrecht, English common law, American common law, and overall, we were very peaceful. It's just a matter of these criminal, international crime gang, as M.S. King calls them, you know, they come in and they set up their kingdom. And how you do that? Through their law enforcement. And, I think Justus Mullin was right, said we will rise to the occasion. Some people say, oh, we don't stand a chance. He's a pretty good historian. And he says, we will rise to the occasion. I just hope he's right. Over to you.
Well, Michael. Well, I'll tell you this, Patrick. Here's the one thing that history tells me in a 40-year study of history, tells me that eventually these people end up eating themselves. They get so corrupt to the point to where they have no honor. So the thing about it is, being involved in any organization that has no honor, they eventually end up devouring each other. So to me, that's where our hope lies, because we're not going to defeat them, because we don't have an army. We don't have hundreds of thousands of law enforcement people to enforce our wishes on other people. So if it's coming, it's going to be when they destruct themselves. And I actually think that will happen. And Patrick, thank you so much. And call in anytime, buddy, and take care of Texas. And let's see what Chance in West Virginia has to say.
Michael, can
Chance?
You, hello, Mike. You, yes, can you hear me, Mike?
Yes, Chance, thank you.
Yes, you know, for all the same reasons you mentioned in the beginning of your program about the public, you know, at this point, my own battle has now become personal and private, not for the silly, mundane, egotistical public anymore. John Locke had it right also. You mentioned Hobbes and Locke. John Locke hit the nail on the head. He was a man ahead of his time. I refuse to pay attention to this juvenile, childish, immature game of politics anymore. You know, I'd like to recommend to you, Mike, I don't know if you listened to Jeff Rentz. But a couple nights ago, I'd say it was maybe, three or four nights ago, he had on a host, a guest, Mitchell Henderson. Okay, I suggest you might want to listen to that. Because if we get our country back again, it's going to be by patriots who are totally unknown to all of us. It's not these people who just spout on and on and on and complain and bitch about politics and bitch about candidate. This is all nonsense. So I suggest, Mike, if you would want to take a listen to Jeff Rentz's program with Mitchell Henderson. It was on the third hour, I believe. It was maybe three nights ago.
Okay.
Four nights ago at the most, yeah. And he had something very important to say. He's an ex-military man. I believe he lives down in New Mexico, and he keeps in contact with people behind the scenes, people who don't just spout all this rhetoric, this political nonsense, like a silly playground game. And when I heard that interview, it gave me a glimmer of hope. Because, like I said, I gave up on the silly, mundane, egotistical public. I mean, to me, it's just childish. It's a childish game. It's so hard to listen to because it's nonsense. That's why the beginning of your program hit the nail on the head. It's just with people's egos, I guess. They feel the need to look up to somebody who they believe is higher than them, rather than Jesus Christ. They put their faith in all this silly. You know, this is another reason why I don't have faith in the public. We've been hoaxed and lied to thousands of times. So many crimes the government committed, and not one of them was solved. Not one of them. So what makes people think that all of a sudden it's going to turn around? Now, I don't mean to sound like a pessimist. I'm just a pessimist about the American public in general.
Realist. You're a realist. Yeah. You're not a pessimist.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Mike. But as far as the public goes, and I'm sure there's a handful of people out here who see what's going on, but I believe it's the people that are going to take this country back are people that you don't even know, that are unknown to most listeners. These are the people that are sincere. This is why they keep their mouth closed, because they know what they got to do, when they got to do it, and how they got to do it. They're not wasting their time with this silly crap voting. Every 4 years, it's the same nonsense. Every time we vote. I mean, how many times?
Actually, every two.
Yeah. And how many times can people do this over and over and expect a different change? I can't understand it for the life of me, Mike.
Well, that's the definition of insanity, isn't it, Chance? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome?
Yes. Are people that desperate? Are they that unfaithful and desperate? It blows my mind. It really blows my mind. I guess people are more comfortable talking rather than they are doing.
And well, Chance, if I may... No, I'm sorry, sir. Didn't mean to step on you. I just wanted to throw this out. Is that, you know, if people, these people who are there, they are basically asleep, and they're asleep at the wheel, and until it becomes draconian, until things become so bad on them that they can't exist, they will refuse to admit that anything's wrong. I'm surrounded by them here. I'm looking out my window now, and I see these, I've got neighbors having football parties for the weekend, and they're all out in the yard and having a cookout, and they're all excited and cheering and everything else. They don't have a clue what's going on in this world.
See, Mike,
and the crazy thing is they don't care, Patrick.
Well, see.
I'm sorry, Mike, Chance.
That's okay. There was a day and time when I felt that way, too. But now it's too late for all those trivialities. I was the biggest football fan around. I gave it all up. I said enough is enough. For people still to be inundated with such trivialities, and I gave it up, and I was the biggest football fan around. I love the game, but I refuse to watch it now. It's gotten so silly and political. It's in your face.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Chance, I hate to kind of cut you short, buddy, but I got some folks waiting. I certainly appreciate your phone call. You hit the nail on the head. Thanks for calling in, and please call in again. I enjoyed our conversation. So,
God bless and go on.
God bless, Chance, and let's jump to the melodious, pulchritudinous tones of Murr in Wisconsin. Murr?
Hi, Michael.
Hey, lady. How you doing?
Hey. Oh, good. You know, last week I gave out the chat room. Not that anybody has to be interested, but, you know, I put links and things in there, and anyone else can share in doing that. But it's rebelmadmanradio.chatango.com. I left off the radio part, so if anyone's interested. And I'm really enjoying your show. And a young friend of mine, you know, just the neighbors are all the ones that hunt here, right? You know, and give permission to, right? And she's 8 months pregnant, and she got her deer.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
You see, I'm vegan. I don't eat, you know, because I'm thinking about the hereafter, and I don't want to be lusting after animals, you know. It's a spiritual thing, too, you know, and that's just my way, you know. And other people, you can get all your nutrients, you know, in a real colorful dish of vegetables and fruits and nuts and seeds and beans and, you know, so I kind of was raised that way and was off it for a while, my children growing up, and, you know, they wanted to eat hamburgers and the french fries and whatnot, but the last hamburger I had, I think it was, I don't know, Wendy's or Burger King, and they had been allowed to add more bone into the hamburger. And nice big chunks of bone in it. And I said, okay, that's it. I'm done.
I can't blame you for that. Murr, I can't thank you enough for everything you do, lady. You are a true warrior for liberty. And I just appreciate so much what you do and the stuff you do behind the scenes that most people don't know about with the chat rooms and all the other stuff. And I said this to Jim Ram the other day, you are God's gift to freedom. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you. What a compliment. You know, I love life and love Jesus even more. And I just want other people to have that kind of frequency going on with them, you know, where they feel good about life and, you know, helping each other. And that's him living in us, right? Today there were three big blasts of snow or more. That was great, too, you know, but it's a little colder than usual right now. But,
right.
You know, I love snow, so that's part of his gift to me.
All righty. Well, Murr, thank you so much. And I've got about 10 minutes left here, so let me jump in here and pick up another couple of callers, if you don't mind.
All right. Thank you.
Have a beautiful day. Love you, girl. All right. James in Vancouver. James, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, real good. We got sunshine up here. It's real nice. From everything you said in your show today, you can see that government and politics are necessarily conspiratorial in nature.
Have to be.
That is, yeah. So the thing we can hope for, like you say, is that people like the Council of Foreign Relations become fractionated if they're not already. And that fractionation will spell their demise. So it's a question of when and how. But
we can keep praying.
Well, we might have to do a little more than that, but I get what you're saying.
I'll make sure that is the first part. James, how do you see the oppression in Vancouver right now?
Well, they're getting ready to drop things on us. Apparently, they've got some thing where they are going to, euthanize kids and things like that. At least they're talking about it. Maybe they passed laws about it already, so... they're going to ramp up in the next couple of months. I figure come January, February of 2023, we'll probably see some hit up here to take the freedoms away from the people. So,
well, James, buddy, our prayers are with you. Thank you so much for calling in. Let me try to get another couple on before the hour runs out. But, James, thank you so much. Stay safe up there, buddy, and call us again. Next time we're on, would you please? Oh, he dropped. Okay, Mitchell. Mitchell, how's it going, buddy?
What's up, big man? What's going on?
Oh, Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes, sir. Listen, I'll make it quick. You were talking about, how do you say it, Bob? Frederick Bastiat, is that his name?
Yeah, Bastiat, some people say it's more of a French pronunciation, but who cares?
All right.
Go ahead.
Well, he had a great quote. How about this one? Government is the great fiction through which everybody endeavors to live at the expense of everybody else.
Amen.
Everybody wants to live at the expense of the state. They forget that the state wants to live at the expense of everyone. Mike, let me say this. This line right here should go on Thomas Hobbes' headstone. How about this one? Statism or government, we use them interchangeably. This is a definition. The brilliant idea that we give a small group of people the right to kidnap, imprison, harass, steal from, and kill people so we can be protected from people who kidnap, harass, steal, and kill people. It's insane what's going on with this. And I'll say this. Every election is really a form of civil war. It's something to think about. I'm just throwing out some points to you. How about this? People fear anarchy because they fear there will be no protection from the bad people. They feel there will be no accountability for the bad people. Hey, Mike,
exactly.
Do we have that today with government?
No, absolutely not.
How many
not.
Big-time politicians, how many big power players in this government, who's ever held accountable for anything?
Well, you know, one of the things I have said many times over the past 40 years is that elections are the pacifier that the government gives the people to suck on while they rob them, steal everything they have, rape them, and then murder them.
That's good. That's right. Well, lastly, let me say this. I'll leave it on this note. There's a guy named Robert Higgs. He actually moved to South America somewhere.
Love him.
But he does a YouTube video. It's called this. I think he was a lecturer at the Mises Institute in like 2012 or something. He knocked it out of the park. It's called "The State Is Too Dangerous to Tolerate," and it will scare the bejesus out of you. What's the horrible, nasty things that have happened in the name of government? And as far as how to have and how to live without government, there's a man named David Friedman. He's a son of the late Milton Friedman, and he specializes in how in discussing all these various. I find them fascinating ways in which we could have a stateless society. And he talks about it is possible, Mike. It is possible, and I think it's time to really consider going this direction, because what's happening right now. I'm with Robert Higgs. This state is too dangerous to tolerate. And I'll leave it right there.
Well, Mitchell, can I ask you a question, please, sir?
Sure.
Is there anything government does that the private sector couldn't do itself cheaper and more honestly?
Oh, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful question. And I called one of the shows a while back, and I was asking the host. I said, couldn't we, the people, a group of us come together and get some backing and set up a facility that could perform the function of the FDA? You don't even have to get rid of the government right now. You could do this. Would be a starting point because the people's FDA, if you will, could compete in the marketplace. And what would happen over time? We know that the government FDA would disappear by way of attrition. It would die on the vine because the people would choose, you know, the products that are approved by the people's FDA. You can work in the competitive market. So, yes, I mean, we the people can do this. We the people can
do
this.
Well, I agree. Go ahead, sir.
No, I wanted to ask you, the problem with, you know, having a people's police or even the people, because we could have our own arbitrative court systems and so forth, the problem is getting over the hurdle of the government claiming to have a monopoly on providing all these functions and services for society. That's what we have to get over, and I don't know how to do that.
Well, that is indeed a challenge, but if we were to, you know, stop and look at if we took over the law enforcement part and only enforced the unalienable rights of the people, the natural law, and quit enforcing all of these other things, and then because then there wouldn't be four guys sitting on the side of the road down here waiting to stop you for speeding so that they could feed the government. Well, there's the music, guys. This has been a great one. I really enjoyed it. Mitchell, thanks for your call. James, Murr, Chance, Patrick, Francis, what a wonderful day. Everyone have a wonderful weekend, and look forward to hearing from everyone again next week. So have a beauty.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.